Well, tonight I'm your speaker. I'm the least of the walking wounded, I guess, with the way the sickness is going around everybody. I'm on the downhill slide, I guess, or the backslide, or the upswing, how you talk about it, but every once in a while I feel like I'm swallowing water and can't breathe, so if I start choking too much, we may just cut a little short, but hopefully I can get through it okay. Sad this evening, looking at a lesson, you know, things I look at in my mind anyway, when I study a lesson, I want to find something in the Bible, I want to find a topic or something that says about X, Y, or Z. So I kind of compartmentalize things, and I find it and kind of say, okay, wrap up in a package, here it is. Not that that's the only encompassing, it may be throughout the scriptures, but tonight, for something I want to, just for this lesson's purpose, we look at it, and I want to look, and really a lot of the text will come out of the book of Matthew, but you look at the book of Matthew, and what I see is, I see Jesus, I see the Pharisees, I see the disciples, I see him asking a lot of, being asked a lot of challenging questions, but the one thing I see Jesus repeatedly do, over and over again, he says these words, have you not read? Now, that's kind of the theme. So when I look at Matthew, I see Jesus, the Pharisees, and I see him repeatedly saying, have you not read? Have you not read? What's he talking about? Now, for the lesson's purpose, and I know this isn't the whole theme of Matthew, but it's a repeated theme in the book of Matthew. Let's take the Pharisees out of this picture for a minute. Let's talk about who they are for a minute. This was the religious of all religious, if you will. These are God's people. These are the priests, the Jews. These are those folks that knew the law. God's chosen people, the ones he brought out of Egypt, the one that he stuck with in the wilderness and gave them the promised land. This is God's people. This is the religion of the world, if you will. Can you imagine if Jesus, this comely man of not good looks, not wealth, not probably dressed the best, comes walking in the door at the preacher study, sets down, looks at Johnny Elmore or Ron Quarter, and the whole group of preachers says, have you not read? Of course, with our preachers, that wouldn't be the case. With the Jews, the Pharisees, that was the case. That's what he had to challenge them on. He called them out on this. And over, we see this multiple times. You know, in Matthew 9, verse 11, it starts out like this, but listen to how he starts it out more or less. And I want to start here. It says, in Matthew 9, 11, it says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. In the 13th verse, he says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. Now, I know the theme we talked about is, have you not read? But listen to what he starts out with. Go learn what that means. Wow. You want to talk about a slap in the face. Today, I want us to look at this scripture and say, okay, this is 2018. This is the Church of Christ. We're talking to modern day Christians, and I'm going to put my name in front of every one of these. Dan, have you not learned? Have you not read? Dan, go learn what this means. I want us to kind of do that mentally and compartmentalize this and see if we fall into a category, much like the Pharisees did, in their lack of, well, learning, if you will, reading. But Jesus says, go and learn what that meaneth. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. You know, it's a form of speaking. I prefer mercy over the sacrifices and the formalization of the law that you guys are so rigid about keeping. Where's the mercy? That's what he was talking about. He is the physician. Those who are whole need not a physician. He come to heal the sick. They didn't understand that. He says, go learn what that meaneth. It's not because they haven't read. Think about that a minute. It's not because they have not read. This was a jab at them. Go learn what that meaneth. How dare you? You know, Jesus wasn't accused of soft-shoeing when it came to the scriptures and his people not knowing the word. He put it out there, didn't he? He laid it out there for them to hear and see and in front of all. And this was quite the challenge to those high priests and the Pharisees here that he's talking about. And he's referring back to Hosea 6 and 6, where it talks about that very thing. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. He's bringing them back to things they claim to be keepers of. They are keepers of the law. They knew the old law. They were rigid about it. These were God's people after all. Do you want to tell us about the old? You want to remind us about the old law? Who are you talking to? Well, apparently he had to remind them, and he constantly, in the book of Matthew, brings them back to the old law and says these kind of statements to them. In the Matthew, the 12th verse, he says, but he said unto them, have you not read David when he was hungered, and they that were with him? And I'm going to stop right there for time's sake, but you can read Matthew 12 and 3 and going through 4 about the showbread. But he says, have you not read? This was not a question. It was rhetorical. You've read. How come you don't know? Is what he could have been saying. Dan, have you not read? How come you don't understand? You know David. You know the story. You're the Pharisees. You're the Jews. You're the religious. You're the keepers of the law, are you not? You're the upholders of all those things that are good and godly, right? But Jesus says, have you not read? That's a scary, scary statement. Because here's a group of people that obviously have read. They have read. You know how many people you hear say, well, I read the Bible. It's my New Year's resolution. It's 2018. We just got past the first of the year. I read the Bible 1 year. Good for you. Jesus may tell you the same thing. Have you not read the scriptures? Reading the Bible as a short story doesn't work, or a novel. That's not what he's dealing with. This ain't the kind of reading he's talking about. He's talking about a reading that causes growth, a reading that develops a faith, that builds a faith, that builds obedience and action towards God, what he'd have us to do. In Matthew chapter 9:19-4, he says, and he answered and said to them, have you not read? There it is again. It's a recurring theme over and over. Like I said, book of Matthew, you'd think if I just tell you this, you'd think, and you haven't read Matthew, this is all he says. But he continues to hammer them on the reading of this law, the reading of God's word, that he which made them at the beginning both made male and female. Where did he get that from? Very beginning, Old Testament. They knew this from the beginning of time. It was recorded. It's been written. Have you not read? He's lecturing them. He's giving them lessons in the law they claim to stand in. The law they claim to be wise, master scholars. Today, we are students. We are Christians. We are followers. We are the keepers of that law, if you will. We have the truth. Today, would Jesus say, Dan, have you not read? Did you not read? Why have you not read? However we want to phrase that. Would he look at me today and say the same thing? You know, I've seen folks tell me in the church that sadly say, you know, I've seen them mimic what the preacher does, what their dad did, what their grandfather did, what maybe the leaders do. But they themselves don't understand exactly why they do it or could teach why they do a particular thing, whether it be waiting the table. Are they able to teach others and know why, what, how, and where this took place, what the importance of it was, why we do it today? Could they teach that? No, they just mimic the rehearsed words that they've heard year after year after year coming up in the church, and they repeat it when it comes their turn to wait the table. They're not prepared. Or other facets of our lives or living, they mimic and just follow after. Well, what do you think of this? Well, you know, I don't know. I really haven't studied that much. I really don't know. Have you heard Christians tell you that, that's been in the church 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years? I have. 60 years. Well, I really didn't get into that much. I haven't done a lot of studying on that. At what point of your 60 years of Christian living are you going to do that? Have you not read? These are scary, scary words to hear told to us today. We shouldn't have to hear this. We are students. We are scholars. He says, you are to read to have this knowledge. Because Jesus is now wasting his time, if you will. I don't want to say wasting, but he is now spending his time reminding them of things they should have already been doing, keeping him from teaching others who have yet to hear or have yet to read the gospel, that is the Gentiles, to reach those of the lost sheep, to reach or those who are lost, those who have not had the word, not heard the truth. But now he's going back and talking to these scholars of his father's will to remind them of the will that they supposedly so wholeheartedly keep. You know, I had a gentleman, been in the church many years and since passed, but I didn't know at the time. It was one of the last things he said to me. He said, you know, I'd given a lesson, and me and him had had some debates and studies, for lack of better terms, I guess, on the scriptures, on the Bible, on biblical principles. There was a lot of belief and tradition in his beliefs, and I was trying to pull as much as always from the Bible. One of the last things he said to me, though, and this went on for years, was just months before he died, he says, you know, I know what I know. I wished I would have studied more. He was 83 years old, been in the church since he was probably 15. I know what I know, but I wished I would have studied more. That's a sad case. You've been in the church 60, 70 years and don't know more than you know. That's an admission of guilt. That's an admission of I didn't care to study. I didn't read. I didn't try to comprehend God's deeper meanings or will. I mimicked what I thought was right. I looked religious. I looked the part. I was baptized. I went to church religiously every Lord's Day. I gave up on the first day of the week. I communed. I said the right things. I acted the right way, but I know what I know, and that's it. He stopped. At some point, he stopped. I don't know if that was after baptism or at what point in his life he decided, I'm pretty good. I don't need to keep digging into God's word and challenging myself on those tough things that I just can't quite comprehend, to go back and read them again, go back and study them again, go back and listen to the words of God. And that was the key thing. It wasn't that important, apparently. It wasn't that important. Matthew 21, one of my last few examples of this, in 16, he goes, and Jesus says, and he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? He's quoting Psalms 8 and 2. He's going back again, quoting the old law, quoting those things they should have read. They have read, but where did it go? That's the problem. It disappeared. He says, these things have you not read? I challenge you with this. Jesus was good about that. He was always wanting to bring out things, and he would always answer a question with a question sometimes, or bring about a question back to them rather than answer the one they'd given, to challenge them. And most of the times it quieted the naysayers and those who had not the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God. It's the same thing he talks about when he talks about himself in Matthew 21 and 42. He talks about the stone that was going to be rejected. That is him, the chief cornerstone, Christ. The stone which the builders rejected, the same as come the head of the corner. He says, have you not read that? I stand before you, he says. Basically, is what he's saying. You reject me, but yet in your own, in the law, in the word you keep, God's word, the old commands, it's prophesied in there, and I stand before you. Have you not read that? Have you not read that? You know, the Pharisees had the benefit of Christ standing there before him. And it was a benefit and a curse to them, because they were proving over and over again their foolishness and lack of understanding of God's will and the lack of acceptance of God's will when they had the Messiah before them. So the very blessing they had before him was also their curse, because they rejected him to his face. They rejected him time and time again. Then they proved they rejected him by not adhering to the word. Not only did they physically have to show it and showed it, but they physically or scripturally didn't obey the law and the prophets and the things that came about that prophesied Christ would come in the flesh and was standing before them that very day. We could use some more of those verses, but I want to move on real quickly here. There are different types of readers, and I understand that. You know, we mentioned those kind that say, well, I made it my New Year's resolution to read the Bible from cover to cover. That's great. Read it. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not studying the Bible. That's not studying the tough questions. That's not digging down and spending hours over one topic. You know, there's been times, I'm probably sure most of you looking at the faces looking back at me, you've struggled with something. And it may be something small in the scripture, not even the whole context of the scripture. And you're studying and trying to dig and find other cross-references, other meaning. You need to study and understand this better. And it takes days, it takes hours, weeks maybe, and sometimes years. And all of a sudden you go, oh, I got it now. But it never leaves you, does it? Once we put that kind of effort into something, it don't leave you. You put effort and apply it. The Pharisees here didn't put much effort into their learning, into their studying. They could recite and rehearse, but there wasn't much learning. There wasn't much understanding of God's word. There are those that never read. How many of you met Christians that way? Unfortunately, I have. Never read. Never read the scriptures. Well, we read it Sunday. We just had some verses here from the Old Testament Matt read. We do a reading every service. That doesn't qualify. Have you sat down in private and quiet and meditated on God's word and read? That's the big thing. Meditating on God's word, listening to what it's telling me. Dan, have you not read? Dan, have you done this? Dan, don't do this. If I put my name in everything, it kind of sticks a lot more, doesn't it? It attacks me a little bit better. And sometimes I look at that and I say, okay, if I put myself in this position, I kind of visualize myself in that scenario. hearing the words being talked to me, or Jesus talking to me, what would he have said? And or him saying this to me instead of the Pharisees. And I apply it differently. Others have their other way of, I mean, apply it to me that way. Others may have different ways of doing things when they learn and read and study. But there are those who read sparingly. They read just enough to get by. That gentleman that had been in the church some 70 some odd years read just enough to get by. Unfortunately, he died that way, with just enough to get by in his life. We read selectively, don't we? How many of us have had folks, or we read something, well, that topic's tough. I don't like that topic. I don't like this subject because it steps on my own toes. So if I just don't read it and I kind of feel good about myself and live the life I'm living and look like a Christian amongst you all, shake your hand on Sundays, we all look pretty good, don't we? But in my private life, have I read that selectively? Have I chosen to put a part of it away? Not that I disqualify it, I just don't read it. We don't discuss that here. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to bring that up. That's controversial. God's controversial. So don't mention his name either then, I guess, huh? The Bible says we are not to read selectively. We're to put on the whole armor of God. How do we do that? By studying his whole will. Some of us read defensively. What do I mean by that? Well, it kind of goes with selectively. Defensively means I'm going to read this, but I've got my mind made up. Here's how it's going to go. I believe that to be this way because that's the way I want it. Or that's the way it's always been. Or so-and-so has always taught me this. And I read it. There it is. I'm done with it. Have we studied those kind of topics that we run into like that in our lives where we said, well, it's always been done this way, but is that really what God intended? Do we get down and dig down and bear down and read those scriptures and study and ponder upon it, meditate upon it, and pray about it? Or do we get it defensively and say, I'm going to read it, I hear it, great, I'm going to do what I want? Pharisee. The Pharisees were there, those very people. They read. They didn't read selectively. They read a lot of the law. They knew the law. They were defensive about it. They put barriers up. They put walls of what they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe Christ was the Messiah. They're going to put a barrier up. He's not the Messiah. Then there are those who read regularly. Regularly with an open heart. Or those who may just start reading with an open heart, as in the case in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian nobleman. You know, he comes along and says, do you understand what thou readest? He says, how can I unless somebody teaches me? He was willing to learn. He was reading for the purpose of hearing what God wants me to do. He wasn't selectively or sparingly reading. He was digging in. What do I need to know? And he says, tell me, please, teach me. That's the kind of students we are. That's the kind of students we should be. That's the kind of students the Pharisees proclaimed to be, was followers of God. They were not. They didn't regularly read God's word with an open mind and open heart and let God teach them what they should know. Instead, they put their own perceptions and their own precepts, their own concepts, and their reading was not reading for learning or for growth. You know, another verse in those in Berea, in Acts chapter 17, Paul talks about in the verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those sayings be so. So there's an example of a true Christian. A true Christian, we're not putting each other against another. He uses an analogy here to put an importance on the word and how good these folks all are. But look, even these are digging even deeper. They search when? Selectively, sparingly, somewhat, defensively, daily. For what purpose? To see what is truth. We don't read for truth anymore. People don't want to hear truth. How many people have you heard says they know all about religion? I've had talks with folks. Oh, yeah, you're a religious guy. Yeah, I'm very religious, too. I know all about the religion and all that. So we start talking about the Bible. So, well, I don't read the Bible. Well, then our conversation's almost stopped. You want to talk Bible, religion. Where do you get your religion from? Well, I have a relationship with God. Really? How do you have a relationship with God? How can we have a relationship with God if we have not read with an open mind, open heart, and applied God's will to us today? How can we have that relationship any better than the Pharisees had? Well, they read the word. That's about it. They didn't accept Christ. What difference is it if I do the same? Have you read the word? Are you doing it to see whether the truth, or what the truth is? Are we doing it to justify ourselves? There's another type of reader and learner we have all together, is one that tries to read just to justify his point, his or her particular point, or position, and twisting things to make it fit how they want it to read, or stopping short of the full context of the scriptures or the intent. Oh, we see that all the time, don't we? We all know people like that. The importance of reading is to gain understanding. Our concept of what the Bible says doesn't mean nothing. It's what God would have us to do. It's to get understanding. It's to grow in hope. How can we say we have hope if we don't know God? How can we say we have the key, the path to heaven, when we don't know the roadmap? We haven't even turned on the GPS to plug it in yet. Nowadays, there's no maps, I know. That's old. We don't have the right coordinates, but we're going to get to heaven. Don't worry about it. We'll find a way. You know, the Bible tells us there's a lot of ways why we study. You know, Ephesians 3 and 3 says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I wrote afore in a few words. It is to know the mysteries of God. For that person or people that say, well, I really don't understand this part of it. I don't know. That's tough to understand. I don't comprehend that. Yeah, I don't get involved in that. It's because you don't want to study or read. Because the Bible says it wants to reveal to you the mysteries of God. If you lack the understanding of the mysteries of God, read, study, apply with an open heart, with an open mind, with the understanding that you're here to let the word direct you and to guide you. The Pharisees weren't about to be directed. They weren't about to be led. They weren't about to be guided by Christ. No, they were the Pharisees, weren't they? They're mightier than all. They had a prideful religious bone in them, meaning they wanted the view of the religion. They wanted the praise of men. They wanted all those things the Bible continually talked about the Pharisees as. But when it came down to adhering to God's commands, they fell short. They read, but they didn't hear. There's a difference. They weren't listening. Romans 15 and 4 says, everything written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. How are we going to have hope in Jesus Christ and hope in a life eternal? Read. Now, obviously, it takes a little more than that, but it begins with reading. It begins with opening up our books and studying the scriptures. Everything written aforetime was written for our learning. So what can I read? Just the New Testament? We can read it all. Read it all. Study all God's word. We don't need to piecemeal it apart and say, well, it's just this verse, that chapter of the New Testament. Read the whole will of the Lord. Read the whole will. That we might through patience. Now, here's the thing. Think about this. People say, well, it's too hard to study the Bible. I got frustrated. I got this, and this is a problem. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Sometimes it's a struggle to read. Sometimes you get ridiculed for reading your Bible at lunch, at work, or something. You got a Bible open, or you got your, now it's your phone, I know. You got your phone up, you're reading your Bible. What are you doing? Reading the Bible. We through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. There's comfort in the scriptures. But we got to get through the patience and the trying of the struggles we go through. Sometimes, you know, I used to say, man, there's things I struggle with so hard to study. Sometimes I think the Lord makes it hard on me on purpose because then I'm not going to forget it. Once you do find the answer, you don't forget it when you work so hard for something, do you? It sticks with you. I think sometimes I was a hard learner in certain things. I just can't get the answer. I just can't get it. And I'm studying and studying and studying. But guess what? I was studying. So I was like, okay, well, that's the key here. I'm constantly searching out that truth, searching out that God's will for me. So, yeah, maybe I had to keep going back and keep reading and keep studying, but guess what? I kept growing and learning more and more as I did it until you get the answer that the Bible wants us to have and understand. We can find it. It's there. We can read. You know, steps to better reading, we do it regularly. You read regularly, and you want to read with intent. The intent is what? So I can get through it and say, I did make my New Year's resolution? No, it's to learn, to have hope, to have patience, to have hope of life eternal, to have faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word and conversation, charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. That's how it happens, isn't it? How are we going to be an example? To Timothy, it was to be thou example to the youth, be thou example. How was he to do that? Till I come, give attendance. Pay attention, give time, give effort, give energy to reading, to exhortation, and to the doctrine. 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, a newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The only way, and here's where we get to the Christian growth. You hear people say, I struggle, I just can't seem to get over the hump. I struggle in my Christian life. Whatever the scenarios you want to put in there. What's the example? What's our solution for that? Well, it's this that bothers me. It's that that bothers me. How much do you read your Bible? Have you studied that you may grow? Bottom line, 90% of the problems or the weakness of Christians can start right there. Because you know what somebody told me one time? When you're at church, when you're praying, and when you're studying, it's hard to sin, isn't it? It's hard to think about sinning, isn't it? Because you're doing and studying righteousness. So that builds growth, doesn't it? So not only does it keep us from sinning or keep us from growing weaker or being weak, it makes us stronger and it makes us our eyes open to avoid those pitfalls in the future. It says study, grow, so that you may develop as a Christian. You may be that Christian, that godly example that God asks us to be. We started out with the topic saying, have you not read? And I think we've seen the Pharisees, there's other examples that Jesus repeats that over and over. And he wanted to hammer that home to the Pharisees because that was the challenge. They were learned men in the scripture or in the old law. They were studied, but they hadn't read in the right fashion. They hadn't applied. Joshua 1 and 8 says, this book you shall meditate in it day and night to do all that is written. Do we read and meditate upon it? Do we study it? Do we apply it? Do we hear it and let it direct our steps, guide our path, be a light unto our path? Do we let it control our tongue, control our actions, control our thoughts, control where we go, what we do? Does it control the fleshly man, or does the fleshly man control you? That's really what the difference is. When we read and study, the flesh has no more strength over us. The spiritual man takes over. You know, think about this. I'm going to wrap this up. The Pharisees had Jesus, and Jesus says, go learn what that meaneth. Now, 2018, put myself in the scenario, the second coming. Christ is standing there. I'm standing before Christ. Dan, go learn what that meaneth. You know, the Pharisees had an opportunity to still go and learn. There's going to come a time when that phrase is not going to apply. We're going to stand before judgment. He's going to say, well, go away and go learn what that meaneth. He's going to say, have you not read? That may be the words we hear instead. And there will be no time to go back and say, oh, yeah, I got it now, Lord. I did. I went back. I went and learned what that meant. Yeah, I took your word on it. Today is that day. Today is the time. It is that time to go and read and learn and to grow and develop. We don't have opportunity to stand before Jesus like the Pharisees did and hear him say, come back, go read, go learn what that means. You know better. No, we knew better. We know now. He's already told the Pharisees. He's telling us in the same manner he told the Pharisees to read, to study, to apply. We may only hear, have you not read? And that could be the end of our eternity. We'll be sent away into everlasting chains of darkness. Or we'll hear Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into rest. How can we learn to be a servant? Through the scriptures, through reading of the holy and divine will of God and the complete will. There's no excuse for not reading. And I think that's Jesus' theme throughout the scripture. There's no excuse. You had the law. You had it. I've given it to you. I've laid my life down for you. It's been prophesied this would come. Here I am in the flesh. You've seen it, the reality of it come true. We have less excuse than the Pharisees. Go learn what that means. Today, we don't want to stand before judgment and hear those words. We know one thing. If we haven't obeyed the gospel truth, you know the first thing the Bible says? Hear. Romans 10:17. We must hear God's word. We must believe on what we've heard. We've been receptive to it. We believe it. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and God is the giver of life and breathed life into man. We believe, we repent of our past sins, because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, that doesn't get us there yet, does it? No, we have to confess Christ before men. Because in the last days, Christ is going to be standing there. I know you not. He says, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which art in heaven. That confession, the Bible says, is made with the mouth, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's not just a belief based on what you read. It's because you have conviction now. You've heard. You believe. And you want to get right with the Lord. You've read with purpose and intent. You've heard with purpose and intent. And now you know the truth. There's no more excuses. You confess your faults. Or if you confess Christ before men. And then lastly, you are baptized in a watery grave of baptism. And then the Lord will add you to the church such daily as should be saved. But you know, you can't do it until you decide in your heart to come forward and make that wish be known. If you've done that, we can't forget the words of Jesus to continue to read, to study. If we've fallen short, we need strength, we've got public sin, then now's the time to get it right. If you're one of either class, you can come forward and make your wishes be known while we stand and sing the song of invitation.